Fred Film Radio, International Documentary Film Festival, Amsterdam, Netherlands.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2017 International Documentary Film Festival, Amsterdam. And I'm very pleased to be joined by director Finley Pretzel, who is presenting his documentary Time Trial here at the festival. So thanks very much for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Would you like to introduce the film for our listeners?
Yeah, Time Trial's about the experience of a retiring cyclist at the very last embers of his career, if you like. And it tracks him in a very short space of time where things start to go worse, if you like. His career kind of goes downhill.
And who is this retiring cyclist?
It's a man called David Miller, Scottish cyclist, big yellow jersey winner for the Tour de France, did 12 Tours de France, was world champion, British champion, and a big kind of very vocal on anti-doping. He was caught doping once and he was banned but came back and was a real ardent voice against anti-doping.
How did you meet him?
I'd followed his career all his life, really, and I met him making another short film that I'd made about 10, 11 years ago. And I met him and I thought, I really want to, there's a potential to make something else. And a longer film about, not necessarily a big champion at the front of the race, but someone maybe coming towards the end of his career or not a big star, if you like. And he was a big star in my world. I thought, you know, he was from Scotland, and we've watched him growing up, and he's a contemporary of mine in a way. He's the same age, and so I'd always followed his career. And I think when I saw him at a race, I thought, and I really engineered to get him a copy of my film, which he watched, and we just basically met at this cycling dinner and hit it off and talked about, you know, possibly doing this film. So
he was happy to do it, like, from the get-go.
Oh, yeah. 10 years ago we met and talked about it, but I couldn't quite find a way to make the film because it was quite a big production and a lot of money required, and I did another couple of shorts in between and another film, so yeah, it took a while to kind of come to having a clear goal of what was the story in a way.
I expect as well that it would also take a while to get ready to figure out how you're going to shoot it.
Yeah, exactly. It was a really difficult thing to do, and it's hours and hours of footage we have, and we could never work out a way to do it any differently, because we had to. There's only one chance in these races to capture these moments, and I suppose we restricted ourselves very much by doing it just on one person, which was very difficult. But for me, it was a bit of a risk in many ways, just doing it on one guy, and with no talking heads and nobody speaking about him. So it became, yeah, we wanted just to narrow it down and really experience what he does. And the mundanity, the excitement, the danger, the speed, all of that. So yeah, all in that microcosm of this world, you know, that they inhabit. And I was really keen not to explore outside of this world, you know, and just because that is their life. They have to do it that because there's not any other time to do anything else, you know.
Speaking of the filming process, was there ever a moment in which you felt like you were sort of in the way?
Yeah, I do think we were kind of slightly in the way. I would ask him to do ridiculous things like make a breakaway, which is when he basically rides as hard as he can off the front of the peloton to try and make a gap between him and the big group of cyclists to win the race. And I would always ask him on a daily basis, can you maybe just try it, you know? And I soon realised that he couldn't do it. It was just it's an immense amount of hard work to do that. And it's fair enough the big effort that takes you to do it, but it's the recovering that he couldn't recover quick enough to, you know, to do that. So he was very, so there was some times that I thought, yeah, we were, you know, obviously affecting their sleep, because we would go into their hotel rooms at night, but they're also like, they're keen for a distraction as well. And we were a nice distraction and something else for them to, you know, to see and other people to talk to, and, you know. It's a very insular life they lead in a way. But
do you reckon that your directing approach changed then while you were making the film, as the film progressed?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I don't think so, because I think we'd done so much planning and research beforehand. We'd been to so many races and we'd done like test shoots with a similar motorbike setup like the year before in Italy, and I think we were so prepared, and we had nailed down exactly how we were going to shoot, and there's only so much you can shoot as well, and we I think it was all about limiting what we were shooting as well, because it's, you can shoot constantly all the time, keep these cameras rolling, but we wanted to try and just, you know, be specific about what we wanted. So
how many hours of footage did you have?
It was well over 500 hours, I think, but it made me feel okay when Ian Smith, one of our executive producers, who made Mad Max Fury Road, they shot over 500 hours of footage, which made me feel, you know, a bit more relaxed. You know, that's a fiction film, so.
Exactly. Actually, this film kind of blends the line. It seems to kind of be a fiction, but could be. I mean, as someone who didn't know that it was a documentary might see it as a fiction film, which I think maybe you were also going for, right?
Oh, certainly, absolutely, yeah. I'm glad you said that, yeah, because it kind of is. It's all those little dramas, I think, that I have found really exciting about the race, about this small detail of putting your gloves on, and the frustration. We can all appreciate that when your hands are cold, you can't do anything with your hands, and he really struggled that. And I think that frustration becomes something much bigger and a much bigger story of the film in a way, you know.
Yeah, that final scene is fantastic. But see, when a film like in a scene like that, and then post production becomes really important, the sound as well becomes part of the sensorial experience. So there's a lot of attention given to that as well. The right sound, the right mood, the right music.
Absolutely, that was a massive key thing with us, as well as the shooting. We needed to do the sound and recording all these cyclists, which is never, you know, in races, you watch them on television, you never hear what anyone's saying. And these very straightforward, mundane conversations that anyone has, you know, any normal human being has, they have them too, you know, and they're just so happen to be racing at the same time, which I find kind of fascinating, you know, it's absolutely.
The conversations as well, yeah, that they have with each other, it's really interesting, because you just don't think that would happen. But then, of course, why not, you know?
Yeah. And they're on the bike for so long, so exactly. It's, you know, they have to try. They can't be just full-on racing the whole time. But
it's amazing. And now I'm just curious as well, as a filmmaker, does this kind of story interest you? Like, the human aspect, yes, but also maybe even more specifically in sports, like
the human story, ultimately. I love cycling. I always have done, forever, really. I don't think you could make a film like this without having a deep kind of passion for it, in a way, because it just keeps you going. Because it took quite a long time from when the kind of first kind of research days and, you know, looking for funding and stuff. But sports not so much, in a way. I'm not a big fan of sports. I mean, apart from cycling. So, I suppose it's always this kind of human condition that fascinated me about cycling and about what they do day in, day out. And I think because I ride a bike, I've raced very nothing like David, but so you have an understanding of what it takes to do what he does, and it's a massive. He's superhuman, you know. They all are, because he's done it for 18 years. It's over and over and over again, and just riding a bike, it's really quite tough, you know.
Has David seen the film, and what does he think about it?
He has seen it. He saw it with some friends. I showed him it in London a month ago, and he likes it. I think he finds it hard to connect with it, because it's him and it's quite intense, kind of emotional, and So I don't think he, but his friends, I think were, it was great having them there because they reassured him that we had captured what it felt like for him in his last moments as a professional cyclist, which he definitely appreciates, and he appreciates the work we've done and put in. And yeah, so one thing that he said was he was surprised at how angry he looked when he refuses to answer a question that I gave him, and he was very surprised at that, and I think that shocked him a little bit to see how he looked. It was a bit of a mirror up to him, you know. And so, but.
Well, it's a great documentary. Thanks very much for joining us and talking to us about it. I wish you all the best.
Thanks very much. Cheers.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.